Good morning again, everyone. This is Stephen Wilson, and you are listening to the podcast, The Leaves for a Victim Nevermore. I am Stephen Wilson, and I am a drug addict in recovery, and I am also a survivor of adult childhood sex abuse. This show is focused in on people who identify as a victim, and the show is here to really just express myself and telling people that recovery is possible and what solutions are out there. I am active in Narcotics Anonymous. I do go to individual and group therapy, but I focus more on group therapy now. And as this is show number two, I think I'm going to stick with the format that I decided on of going from Walt Whitman and Edgar Allan Poe, Emma Goldman, and today's reading is going to be again from Walt Whitman, and it's going to be from the first edition. Let me just open up a page, and this is Leaves of Grass by Walt Whitman, first edition, 1855. I know this orbit of mine cannot be swept by a carpenter's compass. I know I shall not pass like a child's carlicue cut with a burnt stick at night. I know I am August. I do not trouble my spirit to vindicate itself or be understood. I see that the elementary laws never apologize. I reckon I behave no prouder than the level I plant my house by after all. I exist as I am, that is enough. If no other in the world be aware, I sit content. And if each and all be aware, I sit content. One world is aware, and by far the largest to me, and that is myself. And whether I come to my own today, or in 10,000 or 10 million years, I can cheerfully take it now, or with equal cheerfulness I can wait. My foothold is tendon and mortised in granite. I laugh at what you call dissolution, and I know the amplitude of time. That is Leaves of Grass by Walt Whitman, first edition, 1855. Now, if you didn't catch the first show, I don't know if anybody's going to be listening to this, but I have decided that the format of the show is going to be right now the form of a letter written to somebody that I hurt, or they hurt me, or they abused me in my life. And these letters are going to be, obviously, for people that may or may not be alive or may not be in my life. It's only fair that I tell you that some of these may be triggering due to the content. But these letters are a means of therapy and an exercise towards healing. And on today's show, this is going to be a letter to my dad. Dear Father, I really wish that I could have been a better son. I really do. By the time I came into your life, you were almost 40 years old and the world had rode you hard and put you up wet. You and I never really made a connection, not until the very end. I can say now that you were a drunk, but you were always a man with honor, because no matter how much you had to drink, you were always on time at work the next day. You were a wonderful provider. But these are some of the things that happened, and most of these are based on childhood deviance and deception. The first item that I would like to talk about is the bike, the Schwinn bike. I know that I told you that Jeff Hackman and I found the bike out in the back of West Elementary, but the fact is that we actually, well, Jeff took it from a kid's driveway. I took him there. You might remember my own Schwinn was a banana seat. It was red and yellow, kind of like the Flash. I know when you took me to Frank's barbershop, I would always ask you if I could get some train stuff or comic books or football cards or whatever. But the bike that Jeff was riding, it was stolen. And I'm the one that took Jeff to the kid's driveway to steal the bike. It was Jeff's idea, but he couldn't have done it without me. The next item that I would like to talk about is that the woman that was Mom's friend that lived closer towards the general store, she stopped by and told everybody and told you and Mom about that there were multiple cases of mailboxes being blown up. And they had seen that, well, some people had seen that there were two kids driving around on their bikes. Nobody could identify them. Well, Jeff and I were the ones blowing up the mailboxes. I know you asked me about it, and I told you that I had nothing to do with it. But Jeff and I were the ones that were blowing up the boxes. We were using M80s. The next item has to deal with that kid Wayne from West School, the elementary school I went to. I know Mom was the one that went into the principal's office. You were at work, as usual, or the bar. Now, I know that the stories got thrown back and forth, but I just want to tell you the truth. Wayne was the kid that we put in the locker. And I did put epoxy that I had gotten from Grandpa's warm room in his barn to seal the locker. And maintenance had to come in and cut the kid out. The thing is that what he had done to that boy that had been burned, he was the one that always wore that Chicago Cubs hat because he didn't really have a lot of head hair. I know that doesn't make any, I shouldn't have said that because I have to own what I did. The reason why I did it doesn't matter. So just scrap that part, Dad. What Wayne was, he was just a bully, and it was my idea to put him in his place. The next item that I want to address is that woman, the one that you called from another planet. She would always frequent Mom's garage sales. Well, when she told you that shots had been fired and that she'd called the cops and that her flower pots had all been blown to hell, I was the one that got Jeff the gun. We used my 30-30 lever action, the one you got me from John Anderson when you did the clearing of his the I think you cleared out some acreage for him or something, and he gave you the gun for deer hunting. Well, I snuck it out of the house, and Jeff wanted to fire it. I thought that we would go out behind West School, but he decided to do what he did, and because Jeff didn't have any weapons, the cops didn't even think about it. But Jeff would have never been able to do that without my help. And I know you asked me about it, and I lied. The next item I want to address is the cachet of whiskey and stuff that you had from the bar that you had put downstairs in the shelving that Delbert Calhoun had built. I know it took you guys a little while. Mom was more pissed than you were, but I'm the one that changed the Jack Daniels for Coca-Cola. I know that's not original, but you asked Marie, you asked me, and one of Marie's friends had a kind of a dirtbag kind of boyfriend, and Mom assumed that he was the one. But I'm the one that did it. The next item has to do with the beer that you had in your work truck. Your beer, my beer. You were under the assumption that one of the guys at the job site had taken out the beer, but actually it was me. And I also know that you were the one that got the guy fired. He hadn't got, he was still an apprentice. And I never knew the guy, but I'm the one that took the beer. The next item has to deal with the super glue incident at the general store. Jeff and I, we were the ones that put the super glue on some of the items around the store. And although the people working there, that the drug dealer guy behind the cash register, they were going to suspect us anyway because we were in there so often. But I think they just wanted to know who not to let in the store anymore. And I know that you went in there and told them that I had nothing to do with it and that I was to be left alone. But Jeff and I, we were the ones that glued the items. The next thing has to do with Christmas. I don't know if you remember the two gentlemen that came from the new development that you had been working on, that was outside of Coventry. And they had called the cops, and they were able to take down my license plate, and they said that I was the one responsible. My friends and I were the ones responsible for the theft and destruction of Christmas lights on a couple streets. They used my plates to follow, and they got to our address. And I know that you went batshit crazy, and I know you put one of them up against the wall, and you said that I would never do anything like that. And I know that you threatened them both, and you told a cop to get the hell out. And when you asked me point blank if I had anything to do with it, I did tell you that I was in the area, but I told you that I was there because of one of my friends, and that's where he lived, and that's where I picked him up. It was my turn to drive. But the fact is that we were there in that area, and we were... Well, they were the ones collecting the items, and I was the one driving. The reason they didn't find anything in the car is because I had thrown them out on the way home in the garbage dumps at Mr. A's and the gas station right across from it. The next thing I want to talk about is, you remember that friend of yours, the liaison from the BAs of Local 150 and the syndicate, the guy that was always hanging out at the bar in Algonquin, or not always, but I know he went between that and Roselle. He was the one that gave me the fake IDs. He's the one who gave me my fake union card. That's how I was able to go into Chicago and pretty much do whatever I wanted. I told him that you said it was okay. And because nothing came of it, I am assuming that he never asked you about it. But I did lie to him because you did not. I never asked you about it. The next item that I wanted to talk about was the LSD that Mom found. There's no way to sugarcoat this. The fact is that the LSD was mine. It wasn't Marie's friend. It was mine. And I got it from the twins that lived across the street. And I lied about that too. The next thing that I wanted to tell you was that the reason I didn't introduce you to that girl, Robin, at my first college graduation, basically, I was just embarrassed. I don't know why. I was just embarrassed. The next thing that I wanted to tell you was the fact that I didn't tell you the truth about what happened in doctoral. I told you that I quit. But the fact is that I got kicked out. I violated the morality clause of the contract that I signed. My third year, second semester, I got caught having sexual relations with a couple students and a faculty member. That summer I got suspended. The one where I went to go work for that asshole construction guy you had in Nashville. The fourth year of my first semester, I was at a party and I got busted by the campus security. They found marijuana and mushrooms and some acid. Well, they don't have a three-strike rule. Although I had written the dissertation, my mentor was just going over the bibliography. I was not granted the ability to defend. I had not met any of the requirements for teaching. Well, I taught one class, but the fact is that I didn't quit. They indefinitely suspended me with a request of me not to reapply. I still remember your face when I told you. I just didn't want to tell you the truth. I had already been in a double life for a number of years, and I am sorry. You know, Dad, why did it take so long for us to be friends? there at the end when the emphysema took all of you away. I had a killer job in New England. I was making lots of money. Mom calls me in desperation and she wants me to come and make it all better and help you. You didn't want to go to a nursing home. You didn't want to go to a hospital. And the thing is that it was COPD. It was emphysema. It was you getting sick that brought us together. And I just want to say that, I mean, I know it was very short. All we had was August and September before you started having problems with your mental faculties. But I want you to know that that really meant a lot. The talks that we had about what you did in Korea and the drug stop and the bars and all the businesses you had. I know we had a very short time. But I'm very proud to know that I could call you friend when you left this world. Sincerely, your son, Stephen. Well, I think I'm going to let you go for now. And I think this letter exercise is doing, it's making me feel better. So I guess at this point, it doesn't really matter if anybody listens. Be a blessing, and may you find serenity.